Well, the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears kick off the NFL football season tonight. And, well, it's in Chicago, and so I'm sure there's going to be some tailgating going on there. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there are some tailgate parties planned right in people's backyards where there's going to be some grilling going on and a lot of food and maybe a bottle of beer or two. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Back with us, our nationally recognized grillologist, Mad Dog and Merrill. They are the hosts of the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin'. They've written several cookbooks, make many appearances around the state. We'll be talking to them about tailgating, grilling, fall vegetables, how to make comfort food on the grill. So it won't be only on the tailgating itself. We talk about all kinds of grilling with them, and we'd love to hear from you. I hope you'll, what's on your tailgate menu, if you have one? What's the most unusual food that you grill? I want to ask them about that, too. What do you wish you could cook better on the grill? Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Mad Dog and Merrill, I think, are with us by phone. Mad Dog, are you there?
I am certainly here, Mr. Larry.
Did you bring Merrill with you?
He brought me along. Darn it. I was trying to hide from him, but he beat me to it.
Oh, well, are you guys doing some tailgate work tonight or not?
Yes, I am. We're having some people over and going to be doing a tri-tip on the grill with some teriyaki mushrooms and some Parmesan potatoes.
I didn't get my invite.
That's right, you didn't. I want a relaxing tailgate party.
Oh, well, Mad Dog, are you going to do any grilling tonight?
Yeah, you know, actually, I'm in the process of, I went and bought some fresh zucchini and yellow squash, and I'm cutting them into wedges, and I'm wrapping them up in bacon. So green and gold, yellow squash and green squash wrapped in bacon. Those go on the grill tonight, so I'm kind of excited about that.
Ooh, that's
those are delicious. Hey, if you've never tried, if you kind of love zucchini, kind of don't. Of course, everything's better wrapped in the bacon. Just glisten them with a little oil. Put your favorite seasoning. I put Grandma Hazel's on there of ours, and then I mummify them in bacon, those zucchini wedges, and skewer them up and offset them off the grill indirect for about 30 minutes. The best eat you'll ever have.
Oh, that sounds so good.
And better than Merrill's tri-tip any day.
Hey, hey.
Well, Grandma Hazel's, I've got some of that in my cupboard, and I actually use that on a lot of different things.
Grandma's good on everything. She really is. And we're excited that in a couple weeks here, we're coming out with four new sodium-free, fat-free, cholesterol-free type spices. So we're kind of excited about that, too.
Yeah, and just before I forget about it, tell us your website.
MadDogAndMerrill.com. MadDogAndMerrill.com. You can find out when our half-hour show airs and all kinds of fun facts about it.
So what's the biggest mistake tailgaters make, do you think?
Well, I think like a lot of times, probably the biggest mistake is either they'll start cooking too early, especially if they're cooking with charcoal. You know, when you're cooking and grilling with charcoal, you got to make sure that the coals are good and gray. So some of them, they should use a natural starter, but a lot of people will use lighter fluid. And what happens is they'll go ahead and start the coals, but the coals aren't completely gray. There's still lighter fluid on the coals, and they start cooking. So you really, the big thing is you want to make sure that your coals are good and gray when you start.
That makes a lot of sense to me. If you don't start the coals early enough,
right? You're in trouble.
And people have a tendency to overthink things. They try to complicate things. It's make it simple, Larry. That's always our best thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've had a couple of dinners parties where I've tried to do too many things.
Exactly. You know, they try to always get, you know, like the green and gold, try to get the team colors in there, you know, a red, white and blue burger for the Badgers, you know, a nice little red and white in there type of thing with tomatoes and white onions or, you know, things like that. That's what you want to do. Just get the team colors in there. Be proud of what you did. And it don't matter. There's no right or wrong.
Yeah. I mean, people are going to eat. They're going to love whatever you cook. But, I mean, just simplify things. Some people go all the way out and do things, which is nice. I like it. But then they find out that they do have a heck of a lot of leftovers. They'll say, oh, well, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have cooked, you know, extra potatoes. Like Mad Dog said, just keep it nice and simple.
Rod in Mount Horeb has something for us. So let's go there. Hi, Rod. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And I'm sure you're not going to believe this, but I've never done ribs on the grill in my life.
Ooh.
And, Rod. Do you have a charcoal grill?
It's a gas grill.
Yep.
And what I'm looking for is, I've heard people say sometimes they start theirs like in an oven on a low heat to start getting them cooked and then finish them off on the grill. Some people use a tray. Some people don't. You know, what's the best way to try for a first-timer?
I would keep it very, very simple, to be honest with you. There's so many different ways that you can do the ribs. You know, the oven method works. That's fine. But the big thing you want to do is a couple of things. Is you want to do your grill the indirect method of cooking, which means you have no heat underneath where you're going to have the meat at. So the best thing I could tell you is put a nice rub on there. You could buy commercial rubs out on the market, which is nothing wrong with using that, or you can make your own. A lot of even top barbecuers buy the commercial rub. But rub the ribs about at least 2 or 3 hours or do it the night before. Grill them. A lot of times what I will do is, and I've done them so many different ways, you can even sear them up first, wrap them up in foil, put them on the grill for about approximately an hour, hour and 15 minutes indirect. Yep, and then unwrap them, then go ahead and set your grill for direct heat, and then brush some barbecue sauce and brown them up on each side. It's that simple.
That's what I would do for you, Rod. Sear them off, wrap them up in foil, put them off to the side where there's no heat for a little over an hour, unwrap them, and real fast sear them up and put a little sloppy sauce on there if you want to. And for you, that's foolproof.
And what temperature do you have the heat side set at?
I used to go for around 350.
Okay. Rod, what do you think?
I'm going to give it a shot. It's like I said, it's just something. Ribs have never really been something that I was that crazy about. My wife loves them. But my tastes are changing as I guess I'm getting older. My taste buds are getting more apt to eating those things that I didn't much care for before. So I want to give her a try.
Good.
Well, give it the Larry Mueller try. Give it two shots and then grill.
there you go, Rod. Thanks for calling. Say, by the way, there's a lot of different kinds of ribs.
Yes, there are. You know, you got your St. Louis style. You got your baby back ribs. You got your spare ribs. And, you know, they're all good. You know, I actually like the really chilly. I like the baby back ribs.
And so does the cooking, the length, or, you know, like the process you just told Rod, does it make any difference depending on the type of rib you got?
No, it really does not. A little bit different for maybe the country style ribs, how you really like to do them. Some people like to really sauce them up really good, you know, on the grill indirect and then put them in a pan and add some sauce on there and finish them cooking that way. But they're all about the same time of cooking time.
People these days, and you guys must run into this all the time because I know you've grilled for very, very large numbers of people at one time. And a lot of people these days seem to have dietary restrictions.
Right.
Yeah. How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, that happens to us a lot of times, especially for vegetarians and things. We just go ahead and set a grill off to the side and make the, you know, do the dishes that, you know, that they prefer. A lot of people eat a lot of veggie burgers. We bring veggie burgers along. You know, if they're on a special diet, usually the people that are hosting the gathering, they'll tell us, and we'll do that on the side.
The number one thing we ran across, Larry, and here's a point to people. If you're going to out to eat to a cookout and there's several people, someone else is doing the cooking, if you don't notify those people you have a garlic allergy, an onion allergy, a shellfish one.
Peanut.
Whatever. Peanut. If you don't tell them, they don't know, so don't get mad at them. No, bring your own food. Bring your own food or tell them, and they'll accommodate you. But that's the problems that we've had. You know, some people can't eat garlic. You get there and they go, nope, there's garlic in there, there's garlic in there, there's garlic in there and in there, you know, and yep. I'm sorry. So,
well, that makes a lot of sense to me. Veronica emailed to ask for your favorite veggie burger recipe. So as long as we're on veggies, you have a veggie burger recipe.
You know, off the top of my head, I've made several of my days, and boy, I've taken chickpeas and mashed them down, and added black beans. I've added corn, and I've added some thickener, some starching to it. But you know, when you buy a Boca or you buy a veggie burger, the best thing to do is the lowest heat possible. And I've had to do several. The lowest heat possible. And what I'll do is I'll start a little drip pan or a cast iron skillet with a little peppers and onions and some vegetable oil in, kind of get them a little bit caramelized, but not too much heat. And I'll kind of lightly brown those frozen veggie burgers up and set them right on top of those onions ever so softly, cover them up, move them off to the side, and slow cook them for a half hour, and they seem to have the best flavor.
You know, that makes sense.
I've done it so many times. It really does. And you can dry the dickens out of those things so fast. And if you be careful, they fall apart on you and things like that. So if you're delicate, you brown them up lightly, get the flavor of the grill, put them in a little pan, just set them on top, cover them up, and just leave them alone until the people are ready and give it to them and then walk away.
Yeah. On my gas grill, I've got two charcoal grills and one gas grill. And on my gas grill, I've got one of those side burner on the side, and that really works nice for something like that, which of course I haven't done with my veggie burgers because I usually have overcooked them. So I like this idea a lot.
Yeah,
it works.
And it does work. It really does.
Talking today with Mad Dog and Merrill, the grilling buddies, about grilling outdoors. We've talked a bit about tailgating, but we, of course, taking any questions at all that you might have, and I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Chris called in to remind us that peaches and pineapple are great on the grill. She likes to add ice cream after she takes them off.
Boy, she's a smart person, a smart lady. I'll tell you, make a little brown sugar and dark rum and butter glaze and glaze them a little bit, or use it as a syrup over the top of that ice cream. Pineapple is phenomenal. You know, pineapple is good and sweet, but when you put it on the grill, it turns into like an ultra-sweet little dessert. It's phenomenal.
It is indeed. Well, we are going to take a quick look at the news and weather, find out what else is in store for us on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Mad Dog and Merrill to talk more grilling and certainly to answer your questions or maybe hear about your grilling experiences. What's the best one you had, or maybe what's the worst one you had? Love to hear about that as well. I'm Larry Mueller. We'll be back right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Taking a look at grilling today on the Ideas Network, Larry Mueller here with my two guests and old friends, Mad Dog and Merrill. They entertain and educate grillers through their personal appearances, through their TV show, Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin', their many cookbooks and the sauces and rubs that they sell as well. So it's wonderful to have them back with us again to talk grilling. Certainly, if you have a question, comment, or maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And guys, we have Tammy from Mason with a question for you. Let's go there. Tammy, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you so much, Mad Dog and Merrill. We watch you all the time. Even my 11-year-old loves your shows. And I am from Shawano. That makes the sun drop. But my question is, okay, I've got frozen zucchini. I made it. I got some wedges, and I got some chips. But every time I want to grill them, they stay super moist. And I like to know how I can make them a little crisper. And I like my answer off the phone.
And you're saying you've got them frozen, you're taking now, Tammy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I defrost them, and then I grill them.
Okay.
Yeah, isn't that too bad? Tammy, her partner, her their 11-year-old, they all watch our television show, and then she freezes zucchini and tries to grill it. You know, zucchini is so easy to find all year round, especially right now, and it's so crisp. and so fresh when you get it right from the produce department or a local market or the farmer's market down on your local street corner. That's the best way to do it. There really is no good way to take frozen zucchini and bring it back to life. You know, you can't re-crispen it.
It'll just get soggy, like she said.
Dang it all.
I agree. Go fresh.
I love you. I love you, Tammy. I love you, Tammy. Thank you.
So you can't do like you do with eggplants sometimes and set it under some paper and then put something heavy on it to kind of squeeze it.
Yeah, no, it just won't work. She just can't do it. But fresh zucchini, like I mentioned, is so phenomenal on the grill. I'll take it and cut it into paddles, lightly glisten with an oil, season it up, treat it like a hamburger, and you fry it on cook it on, grill it on both sides on medium direct heat, and then you top it with pizza toppings, with Reuben toppings, you know, and cheeses on top of all those, and put the hood down for a minute, and you got paddles of zucchini that are phenomenal. The wedges of zucchini are great. I mean, the list goes on and on, but you just cannot bring it back to life after it's been in the freezer.
You know what Tammy's thinking right now? She says, well, what the heck am I going to do with all this frozen zucchini?
I know. She's going to watch something political now on Sunday morning instead of Mad Dog and Mary.
Oh.
You know, my favorite vegetable recipe, and I've been doing it lately for television here and there, and maybe not enough, but I'll take, like, Wisconsin Reds or Yukon Golds, and I char them up on the grill. You've grilled potatoes, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Put them right on the grates of the grill, roll them around, get them nice and gnarly dark and cooked all the way through, and then I have my large bowl and my potato masher, and I throw those hot potatoes grilled in a bowl. I throw in a half a stick of butter. I throw in a couple blops of sour cream or two, and I start mashing away. And then I add jarred garlic, and I start mashing away in a little milk, and then I'll add, like, Merck's sharp cheddar cheese spread, a few big tablespoons of that. And you make mashed potatoes out of grilled taters, and they're wonderful. You can take the carrots and get those done at the same time and mash those with it, or those nice zucchinis that we're talking about, but mainly potatoes and carrots, you know, and get the nice two colors going and mashed together. And it's the best flavor in the world. The Yukons work. And, of course, the Wisconsin red potatoes.
You know, I've got a pan for that I put on. You know, it's for grilling, and it's got a bunch of holes in it, but that way the potatoes don't fall through the grates.
Yep, these are the whole potatoes. You know, the nice.
Oh, you use
holes.
The whole ones.
Oh, the skins and all, that's the key. It's so foolproof and so easy, because all you're doing is I'll lightly glisten them with an oil if you want to. Just slosh them a little bit in an oil, but throw them on the grill, and it takes about 15 to 30 minutes on a direct heat to char them done where when you pierce them, they're nice and tender. And take those whole potatoes, toss them in the bowl, and start mashing away, Larry.
That sounds pretty good to me.
You can add bacon bits. You can add whatever you want to it. There really is delicious.
Jeremy sent an email. He and his wife raise some really nice chickens. They get up about 5 pounds. And he would like some tips on grilling one whole. He says he tends to either burn the skin or the legs are tough. He likes to use a Weber kettle grill.
Well, you know, the big thing is hopefully he is doing it the indirect method of cooking. You know, oil the chicken before you put it on. You know, put your favorite seasoning on there. The big thing, and we've talked about this so many times, I hate to repeat, but you got to use a meat thermometer. If you use a meat thermometer, you can't go wrong whatsoever, trust me. But what you want to do on that chicken, you want to cook it up to about 175 degrees and then take it off. But I think that's the best advice to it. I mean, you can't put your barbecue sauce at the end, but if it's getting tough and everything on there, I think he's overcooking the chicken.
I think...
And you cannot stuff it either. You can put a couple little stalks of celery in there or some onion wedges. But if you put some bread stuffing in there, the fowl birds, poultry wants to, whole ones like turkeys and geese and stuff, they want to cook from the inside out, too. You want heat to allow to go into the cavity besides on the outside.
And so with a kettle grill, you got to kind of have the coals all piled up on one side and the chicken on the other.
Correct, yep.
And do you face it any particular
way? No, but actually maybe after about a half hour, you should turn that chicken because the heat's hitting it on one side.
And then you do the chicken dance. You go around, and when your neighbors are watching, you play some polka music, and you do the chicken dance right outside and make it work. Kind of like a rain dance. It works every time.
You know that Instant Pot, I've got a thermometer. I'm embarrassed to say what I paid for it. I think it was about $100.
Sure.
But that thing, it is right on every time.
Yeah, and I paid $34 for a nice, smaller, little digital instant read. Takes about, you know, 10-12 seconds to read it, and it works just fine. You can buy apps for your phone. You can sit inside the house on your Lazy Boy, on your roast, sitting on your roast, and read the temperature of the roast on the grill. You know, it's foolproof. We never thought in our 38-some years of grilling that we'd tell people to buy a meat thermometer, but I'm going to be doing, we're going to tape a television show in Turtle Lake coming up in about a week, and I'm going to do stuffed pork tenderloins with wild rice and mushrooms and walnuts and stuff, more indigenous cooking. But I am going to bring along my 2019, my brand new meat thermometer, even though it's an old-fashioned indigenous cooking. I'm going to use a brand new meat thermometer to make sure I get it done right, because I don't want that pork to be overcooked.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I went through so many meat thermometers over the years, none of which I ever thought were accurate. And this one, it's worth every penny. I get a read instantly, pretty much. And I have a lot more success.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. Just use it.
Are there any other kinds of special things, accessories, could you say, that are what are some of the best ones?
Well, you know, lately, Larry, we've been doing injectables. Number one problem with injectables is sodium. So I'll get low sodium or salt-free chicken broth or beef broth, and I use that as my base. So that works pretty good for injectables. Plank cooking. We just had some red oak, some maple, some cedar, and we did a whole bunch of plank cooking the last television shows that we taped. And it's so foolproof and delicious, so I consider that an accessory is plank cooking. That works extremely well. Merrill talked about, and the gentleman called in about, the whole chickens. Get yourself a roast holder, which doubles as for chickens and pizza and whole hams, and it helps hold everything up off the grate to the grill. Air circulates around. So roast holders, they've been around for 45 years, you know, for grilling, but they're still the Volk thing. They're still in and usable.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff in Superior has something for us. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, gentlemen. So do you recommend cooking lake trout that we catch in Lake Superior? Do you recommend cooking that on the grill or in an oven?
You know, I'm going to be doing some lake trout. We're going to be going up to Madeline Island. The 11 tribes of Wisconsin are meeting up there at the end of this month. And I'm going to be doing some whitefish up there. And I think I'm going to cedar plank it or oak plank it, if I'm not mistaken. You know, it's a couple of different ways you can do it. On the grill, the fat of the whitefish has a tendency to drip away, just like the salmon. There's some oil base to it. It firms up really nice. So it's great on the grill. Just don't be surprised. It cooks in about 10 to 15 minutes when you're cooking it direct method of cooking. It goes so fast, it's unbelievable.
Even when it's on a plank?
Well, no, planks should double the time to about a half hour. But skin side down, right on the grates of the grill, it cooks up. So when it's fresh like that, it cooks up so fast, it's unbelievable. We'll be doing some, I'm going to do some nice stuffed elk burgers up there, too, at the same time. Little wild rice and some berries in there and stuff like that. So we're going to do some elk burgers at the same time. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a good time.
Yeah. Jeff, does that help?
How do you do yours, Jeff?
Oh, we lost Jeff. He went away from us, but
He's out fishing whitefish right now.
He's after salmon, is what he's after.
Oh God! We stuffed some salmon and planked it the other day. God, was that stuff really, really good?
That was great.
Yeah, we're good friends over at Ho Chunk.
Well,
it was a good time.
I think, you know, I kind of like planking because there's a little more. Play in the cook. You know, you have to be really watching when you've got that fish straight on the grill.
The plank protects the meat product from the heat, retaining the moisture and adding flavor at the same time. I always consider myself, Merrill and I, when we do plank cooking for television, it's like cheating because it looks so god dang good every time it comes off that grill. It's foolproof and it tastes good. But you feel like you're cheating because you're not throwing it right on the grates of the grill. But honest to God, it's still grilling and it's still wonderful. And for those folks out there, get yourself some nice flavored planks. I will go and I'll get untreated cedar myself and cut it to the own size I want, or hickory or oak, whatever you can afford.
and you submerge it in a cooler or a bucket or water with a brick on top for at least 8 hours. Get it good and wet. And the last thing you do is pop that wet board out of the water. So you take your fish or anything you want to do. I'll do those pork tenderloins that I talked about, stuff on Cedar Plank. We'll do stuffed, take mummified shrimp or jalapeno poppers mummified in bacon or Cedar Plank. Anything you can Cedar Plank, you can do. But the last thing you do is pop you season the fish, you pop the wet board out of the water. The grill's already preheated on a good high heat direct. Now you can pop the wet board out of the water, put the seasoned fish on top, present everything to a good hot grill. And in 5 minutes, Larry, I don't know about you, but I turn the heat down a little bit because it cooks too fast.
Yeah.
You get the board charring. Otherwise, it cooks too fast. You get that all charring, then turn it down a little bit. But it's honest to God, whole tenderloins, venison tenderloins, pork tenderloins, chicken wings can be planked. It's just a phenomenal thing.
John was wondering, what's the most unusual item you've ever grilled?
Well, I know what Mad Dog's going to say, and I agree the same thing.
Well, muskrat hocks. But
yep.
Muskrat hocks.
It was
at a wild game cookery, and they brought the dang things with the little feet on, so I had to clip all those off first. But the one of the most flavorful things, I've done shrimp, and then there's lobster, and there's all the other seafoods on the grill. There's some wild caught. It's more expensive. There's some wild caught like Argentine shrimp, and it's fresh, firm. It's the most delicious thing you'll ever have. About 4 to 5 minutes on each side on the grill, or skewer them up, so you can turn them all at the same time. But it's more of a wild caught, like an Argentine shrimp. Honest to God, the best thing you'll ever have in your life.
Well, here we are. The weather's going to be getting cooler, if I'm not mistaken, as fall comes along here. You start thinking a little about comfort foods. What are some of your favorites for grilling?
I think my favorite comfort food really is a chuck roast, actually with some cabbage in it. So I'll take a chuck roast, I'll season it, I'll brown it up about 3 to 4 minutes on each side, put it in an 8.5 by 11 inch aluminum pan, and then I will also sprinkle on there some dry gravy mix, some dried onion soup mix. I'll use about, maybe just a little bit of can of beer. If you don't want to use beer, you use beef broth. And then I'll stack it with shredded cabbage on top, a stick of butter. I'll seal that up. I'll cook that on the grill for about an hour and a half indirect. And it is just absolutely delicious.
Oh, do you get the grill flavor at all in there?
Yes, you do, because you're searing the meat up first.
Oh, yeah.
And my favorite is to take a ring of kielbasa, take a nice ring of kielbasa, take a sharp knife, and all the way around in the big U, make a big slice about 3/4 of the way through, and then take some sauerkraut, drain it off, and pack it inside that little kielbasa all the way around so it's nice and packed. And then here I go again, but you start with about 6 pieces of bacon, and you start at one end, and you mummify that whole ring of kielbasa with that stuffed sauerkraut with bacon.
Mm.
And then you cook it indirect for about 35 minutes, 40 minutes indirect, depending on your heat source and your temperature. And, a little glaze of Mad Dog and Merrill's number one barbecue sauce or something like that, at the end. But it comes out just phenomenal. That's comfort food to me. That's Midwestern eat.
All this talk about bacon reminds me. I took maybe 4 stalks of asparagus for each one, and then I wrapped bacon around the asparagus, and I was doing some chicken, I think, as well, and I just grilled the bacon and asparagus, and that turned out really good.
Oh, everything is good with bacon.
yeah. It's the same as that zucchini wedges we talked about when we opened the show. That's delicious. There's an old one out there. Merrill's done it a few times, and it works pretty good. Pretzel rods wrapped in bacon.
Oh!
as odd as it seems, pretzel rods wrapped in bacon are phenomenal. I mean, it's just one of those where everything is wrapped in bacon. It's rich. I'll do a lot of shrimp, like that Argentine shrimp. I'll take that, and I'll wrap it in bacon. And you cook it on the grill, and it's delicious.
The problem is, with the shrimp alone, I can eat about 7 or 8, but those wrapped in bacon, only about 3. So then you look at it next time and you go, I'm going for quantity.
Oh, man. John was wondering about the back to ribs for a minute here. He's got an Instant Pot, and he's wondering if he's losing a lot if he kind of does the ribs in the Instant Pot and then he puts them on the grill. Because just because you got people coming, it's going to be, he's not going to have to be spending all of his time by the grill.
That's fine. I mean, there are so many different ways that you could do ribs on the grill, and that's a good way to do it, you know. And then right before they come, throw it on the grill, baste it with some barbecue sauce, like I said, sear on each side, and you're in good shape. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I think
but for a party I've already thrown together, I've already seared the racks of ribs the day before. So, you know, they're not done. They're just seared, like we talked about earlier, wrapped in aluminum foil, heavy-duty, nice aluminum foil. We put them in the refrigerator, 3, 4, 5 racks, whatever you got. And then the next day, before your guests come over, before you eat, about an hour and a half, just set the grill for indirect and don't stack them together because it'll take longer to cook. But, you know, zigzag them on the grill so you got some air going around those aluminum packs. But then that's foolproof that way, too.
Yeah, it makes sense to me for sure. Well,
yeah.
What are your thoughts on marinades? Do you use marinades a lot?
Yeah, Larry, we marinate not to tenderize, like the old adage, but to give a little character, personality, and flavor. You know, there's an acid in there that'll break down the tissues, but it's only breaking down the surface tissues. Then there's a flavorizer in there that when the surface tissues are being broke down, the garlic, the peppers, the onions, the herbs and spices kind of work into the flavor a little bit. And then there's an oil to seal it all in. That's the ingredients as to a marinade. We don't marinate to tenderize because you don't want to break the tissues down totally anyway, because that's kind of where your texture comes in. But just a few hours to give it some flavor.
Yeah, I can remember somebody had something that had been in a marinade way too long, and it was cooked, and it was awful.
That was us. I think we've talked about it. One of the first gigs Meryl and I did catering 1,000 years ago is we did all these beautiful little skewers of shrimp, but we put pineapple wedges next to each piece of shrimp, and then we put it in a bus tub, refrigerated overnight, and when they came out, the acid of the pineapple ate that shrimp apart like you wouldn't believe it. You couldn't do nothing with it.
Oh.
So that's what an acid does. It overcooks. It actually overcooks the meat product.
Well, tell me about how are things going with the TV show?
Hey, the TV show is great. You know, we've been blessed. It's 33 states. It's over 100 different markets in those 33 states. Each show airs every week a couple of times. We'll be doing 26 tapings, all done this year. So every show only airs 52 weeks. We have Freddie the Piano Man, Fast Freddie on the keyboard. He's with us, and he takes us in and out of the little segments that we do. So he's like a character in himself. He's going to have like one of those offshoot television shows in a couple of years, you know? He's going to be like a Roseanne. He's going to have his own little show in just a little bit here. But people have to tune in. It's fun taping them. You know, Larry, the older you get, the more relaxed you get.
Yeah.
And the shows that we're doing, the older we're getting, not that we're old, we got a lot more life left into us. But it's just more relaxing and more fun And it's working out well. And one proprietary thing here, and it's a commercial plug, and I apologize. At the beginning of the year, we've been working in the labs right now and talking with different co-packers. And our barbecue sauces, we listen to the people. And all our sauces, somewhere around the first of the year, will be fat-free. They're already gluten-free. But we're going to take out all that high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's no MSG. It'll be cholesterol-free. It's all new and improved formula. It's the same ingredients, except we're popping out that and we're adding some nice tomato base. And they're taking out that corn fructose stuff.
And your website again is?
MadDogAndMeryl.com.
MadDogAndMeryl.com. Well, you know, it's always a lot of fun talking with you guys. Thank you so much for being with us today, and I look forward to your next visit.
It's the first time we didn't talk about beets. Bye, Larry.
We'll bring it up next time. Mad Dog and Meryl, the Grilling Buddies, our guests today. They'll be back, and we'll do it again with them. tomorrow on Garden Talk. Oh, my goodness, Friday already coming up. Susan Carpenter is going to be back to talk about native plants and tell us what's happening at the UW Arboretum. So I hope you can join us for that. But you know what? You better stay with us because there is lots more in store right through the afternoon. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.